We'll talk about it some more when you feel stronger.
A gentle smile blossomed on the prim, pursed mouth.
That would be nice. Can you let me out of this silly jacket, please?
Doc started to reach in.
It would be my pleasure, madam.
Hold it. Just wait a couple of minutes, Doc.
Just who? Have you rescued me?
Sort of.
JB pushed his hat back.
Mind telling us who you are?
Don't you know?
Doc was puzzled.
Of course. I don't understand why. Your name...
Let her tell us, Doc.
Melville. Dolores May Melville.
Why have you got that straitjacket on?
There was a long moment's hesitation, and the little black eyes moved around the room.
I've been ill. Real poorly. Fever. They thought...
The eyes met Christie's.
They wanted me not to hurt myself.
The hospital at Tehachapi?
Ryan watched the woman carefully, aware that something wasn't quite right, but unable to pin down just what it was that was niggling at him.
The hospital? Sure. Now, before we go for the $64,000, can you get me out of here? It's real uncomfortable.
Doc looked at Ryan.
If you've quite completed the interrogation, my dear Ryan, I have the greatest personal sympathy for how she must feel after being trawled like this.
Ryan hesitated, glancing over at Christie, who very slowly shook her head.
Just a minute longer, Doc.
He leaned over the capsule, aware of the strong scent of the woman's sweat, rank and feral, like a cougar's lair.
You done staring, mister? I don't know who you think you are, but there's laws, even for people like...
She clamped her mouth shut like a trap.
People like you, Dolores? What are people like you? How come they got you chained tighter than a triple-crazed mutie?
The woman wriggled in the cramped confines of the container. Ryan noticed that the tendons in both the woman's wrists were standing out as she braced herself against the steel of the cuffs.
Just let me out and I'll sing sweet as any sparrow. I don't know what's going on. I honest to God don't. You drug me and take me out of the hospital and bring me to this weird place. When my attorney hears about this, he'll start slapping writs on you faster than you can piss.
Get some details on the screen, Doc. Let's see about this hospital and why they got our trust like this.
Let me go first!
It should only take a short while, my dear lady. Be patient.
Again, the old man's gnarled fingers pecked at the keyboard, like a flock of hungry birds.
I was in the hospital, that's why I'm in this restraint!
Want me to put this through a voice coder?
Easier than all of us trying to read that little print.
I feel sick. I'm gonna faint if you don't let me out!
Ryan turned around.
Lady, close your mouth a while.
The screen showed a ready instruction, and Doc pressed the transmit key.
Subject of projected Dolphin 2
forward,
trawl
Doc,
is Dolores
May Melville.
Here we are.
After sentence of death was imposed, the subject was taken to the State Penal Institute for Women at Tehachapi, southeast of Bakersfield, California.
Why? Why was she sentenced to death? What did she do?
Doc located that part of the information disk and accessed it. Ryan was aware, although he didn't look around, that Dean, Mildred, and Abe had re-entered the control area and were standing listening in silence to what was going on.
The first of the admitted 26 homicide victims, though the police authorities believe from forensic evidence that Dolores Melville's total score might exceed 50, was Tony Liu, aged 9, oldest of all the known murdered boys.
Christie's face was set like stone as Doc paused the computer.
She'd killed 50 little boys.
Just a little more, Doc.
Fine.
As with the other victims, it is believed that Dolores Melville abducted him from school. After extensive torture involving razors and needles, she strangled the child. The corpse, like the others, was castrated either on the point of death or shortly after, and the genitals preserved in alcohol. A label attached in the convicted woman's own hand gave details of the victim and date of his murder.
50 little boys. Oh, you monster.
That's right. And all of you can lick this shit from my puckered asshole. You worthless fucks. You're all worthless. You assholes. The fucking cops, that dickless wonder judge, the jury, and those ass-licking prison guards.
Ryan pressed the key marked cancel. He drew the Sig Sauer from its holster and walked to the capsule, pressing the muzzle to the side of the raving woman's forehead.
What the hell you gonna do with that, you spineless toad? What? You ain't gotta...
Damn, Dad.
Ryan holstered the automatic and glanced at the clock.
20 minutes to the next subject, right?
Correct, Ryan.
Well, two down and one to go.
There was very little conversation while they waited for the arrival of Dolphin 3, last of the Time Patrol subjects. Mildred had gone across and lowered the lid of the capsule onto the corpse of the demented killer.
I've seen crazy in my time, and I've seen some pure wickedness. I'm not sure I've ever seen them so combined in a single being.
As the clock ticked around, Ryan went to Doc.
Hey, Doc. This time, can we know a little more about the next jumper? I mean, shit. We've already had a bloody pile of torn meat and a murderous crazy. Best we know a bit more what to expect this time.
Doc nodded. It was all too obvious that the previous arrivals had shaken Doc badly. All his febrile excitement had deserted him, and he moved slowly, like a man trapped in a nightmare. The screen cleared for a moment, then came up with a scant half page of information, more or less repeating what they'd already seen.
Is that it?
Doc tried alternative ways of accessing the files, but came up with nothing more.
Looks like it, I'm afraid.
Comes from way up in the high mountains. Be well snowed in at that altitude the time of year he's trawled.
An oblate from birth. A 19-year-old virgin.
The information was so absurdly limited that Ryan was puzzled. How had the Kronos Project team selected this young man as one of their victims? What was the basis for their choices? To pick a convicted serial killer who was presumably under sentence of death made some kind of sense. But this Michael brother was so wildly different. Why pick him? The clock was showing less than 5 minutes before the final subject was due to make his appearance in the last of the glass-topped pods. Everyone was tense with the waiting. Abe bit at the ragged corner of a fingernail.
Maybe this is wrong.
Wrong? What do you think's wrong about it?
I don't know, JB. God's laws?
God didn't know all that much about time jumping, Abe.
Still, look at what's come through. I mean, the contents of a giant puke burger and the biggest triple sickie in Deathlands.
This one will be better.
The armorer nodded sagely at the lean figure of the gunner.
Trust me, trust me.
Christy took Ryan by the hand.
Know how I had a bad feeling about that last one? Real bad?
Yeah?
This time I got a good feeling.
50 seconds.
They all moved to circle the last of the row of capsules. Ryan felt a wave of excitement. If only this one could be all right. A lad of 19 would be well informed about what had really happened, and would be brimming with news about life in those lost days before Skydark.
30 seconds.
I should have gone to the bathroom.
Go now, Millie.
And miss the fun?
15 seconds.
Ryan watched the digital numbers on the clock as they melted and reformed.
10 seconds.
Doc was rubbing his hands together.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 0.
The machinery began to hum as it had before, and the interior of the module filled with a surge of white mist. Ryan was fascinated by the unbelievably complex technical side of the process, wondering if this was what the interior of a Mattrans unit looked like during an actual jump. Certainly the mist seemed similar to ones that he'd noticed in the gateway chambers before being sucked down the twisting tunnels of unconsciousness. Dean pressed his nose against the glass.
Something's there, and it feels bastard cold inside it.
Don't touch.
You never let me have any fun.
Now Ryan could make out something appearing, seeming like layers of crystals forming one on top of the next at infinite speed. It was a strange sensation. The reversal of a speeded-up vid of an animal decomposing and shrinking to nothing.
Nearly done. Looks like he's come through the transferal safe, whoever he is.
Now the mist was clearing, and they could all make out the human figure that lay peacefully inside the container. It was male, with a dark skin that might indicate some Indian blood in the background. Long black hair was held off the forehead with a strip of crimson silk. The physical description seemed to be about right. Ryan would have put the young man at around 2 inches shy of 6 feet, and 140 looked the correct weight. He was slimly built, but fairly muscular. He was barefoot, wearing a rough brown robe that came halfway below his knees. It was tied around his middle with a thick knotted cord. Ryan noticed that there was a slim-bladed knife sheathed on his left hip, and another on the right.
Well, at least he looks normal. Strange clothes, though.
It resembles the simple habit of a member of a monastic order. Though twin daggers would hardly seem to be the appetite.